We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, 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 Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and today we're doing this a little differently. So we had planned to do the pod proper, you know, live on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat, all that good stuff. And if you're not already following, subscribe. Why don't you go there and do that? You can catch us live, especially with the playoffs. We have a hangover time after every playoff game. We'd have a pregame show before every game. And of course, the Miami Heat Beat Podcast live on every off day, breaking down the best of the Miami Heat. So check us out there. But yeah, the reason why I'm kind of talking to you right now is because we did a locker room session, which we do. It's on the locker room app. It's for Android and Apple. It's really fun. You can kind of hop in and talk with us about, you know, the Heat. And we usually do them after every game, right? So we do them like about twice a week. And I thought today's was super encompassing. We went long. Normally we take like half an hour, 35 minutes. Today we almost went a full hour. And I thought it was super encompassing of the entire season. It was kind of like a retroactive, right? About this whole, it's been a weird season. It's been a really, really weird Heat season. And I thought, you know, instead of just doing the pod and kind of rehashing some of that stuff and then talking a little bit about the playoffs, because on Wednesday we actually have like a really, really big in-depth playoff preview plan for Heat Bucks. So don't worry, you're not missing out on that content. Today would have been something like this anyway. You know, I don't have time to prepare, look at stats, right? I want to do this right for you guys. So I really want you guys to enjoy this. It's a little bit different of a show. It's not the normal thing that we do here on Miami Heat Beat, but also it's a little taste of locker room. I've promoted it a couple times on the pod feed already, but I really want you guys to come and join us. It's a lot of fun. Follow us at Miami Heat Beat on Twitter so you can get the updates as to when we go live. And enjoy the show. I'm here, Tips there. Siobhan joins later. Alf hops in with a little bonus take. So it's fun. So enjoy our locker room session. That is a pseudo podcast.
This is a locker room production.
Good morning, Tiff.
Good morning, G.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Busy morning, running around as usual.
Yeah, that's it.
Back. Listen, I love the weekends, and I don't realize it until it's Monday. I take it for granted.
I know. It should be like a 4-day work week.
I take that shit for granted. And like Monday rolls around, like Monday morning, like that alarm hits at 6:30. And I'm like, oh God. Like, why? This isn't fair. this shit sucks. Well, good morning to chat. Good morning to Tiff. Good morning to Heat Nation.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Listen, this was a long season. And by long, I mean it was condensed, but that made it longer. It was it was technically shorter in days, but that shit was long. Tiff, people, let's self-indulge for a second. In content creation, you know, especially like at the rate we went, like when there were 2 days off in between games, that shit felt like a long weekend.
Oh my God. Not even that, but when we had that those two like West Coast road slates, oh, that was horrible.
Staying up late, because like, you know, if you're just, you know, if you're just a fan and you're not responsible to like do something after the game, you just kind of chill out and you're like, ah, you know, if I fall asleep at this fourth quarter blowout, whatever, who cares, right? It doesn't matter. RS has got to stay up. And then we gotta provide content. I mean, God, shout out to you and Alf who were there almost every late West Coast game. That's, and Brass.
Listen, Brass is the real MVP.
Legit. I guess he had to stay up late and post.
Yes.
And do all that stuff. So shout out to him. But I mean, like, I kind of wanted to do this. So we're going to get into playoff preview stuff on the pod tonight. And then a super in-depth one on Wednesday. We're going to do some articles on heatbeatmiami.com. So we have all that good stuff. But today I just kind of wanted to talk to him about like a reflection. You know, this was a tough season. A lot happened. And I think that our expectations going into it, we're all a little all over the place from person to person. So, and I've been wanting to ask you this since last night, because yesterday on the pregame show, I asked Frankie, I was like, well, the season is ending right now and this game doesn't matter. So how do you feel about this team compared to after the first game, the loss against Orlando? And I've actually been waiting to ask you this question because I think you have been pretty consistent in how you feel about the team, but also I think they've showed us some stuff in these last 15 games. So like, I ask you the question, how do you feel today compared to after that first loss against the Magic?
Oh, it's interesting because I definitely feel better about this team. And I'm not saying better in a sense like, oh, they're going to win the chip or anything like that. I just think because they had a chance during, you know, by the end of the season to get a little bit more cohesion with the starting lineup. People, you know, Spo got to mix and match lineups a little bit more than I'm sure more than he wanted to, but I think that, but I think it helped. I actually think all the tomfoolery and all the mishmash of lineups, I actually think it helped because he got a chance to get a really good look at players one through what? What do we have on that? 13?
So
he got a chance to get an honest look at everyone. Everyone got their opportunity.
Even people, more because the guys they traded and came in and out.
So I think that helps going into the playoffs because, you know, Spo's like a master of trickery. So he can throw something at someone and even the fans, we could sit back and be like, what the hell was that? But it could be a good, what the hell was that? I still have a lot of concerns in certain areas, but those concerns I think are what most people have that aren't going to get fixed overnight. And they're not going to get fixed at all because some concerns just aren't in some players' toolkits. So, you know, that again, we fall back on Spo and whatever schemes he's going to run.
So kind of want your thoughts on what are the biggest of those concerns?
I'm going to say on the on-ball defense.
I agree.
Is one of my biggest concerns. Because there's going to be nights when those shots just don't fall. So if you're a player that can give us 20, but you give up 21, that's a problem.
Yep.
So
especially when you're not giving them the 20.
And that's so if you're not stopping that ball, then that's a huge problem, which means that like Spo's going to have to go either deeper into his bench or that means Jimmy's going to have to be doing double time on, you know, whoever's killing us at the point.
I feel like last season in the playoffs, it was essentially every series was a mini game on how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Injury, right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do we work around this limitation? And they tried a bunch of different things and then kind of culminated in them like, okay, we're going to switch a ton. And then it was like, no, we're going to hedge and recover. Right. We're going to double. So like they have their ways. And I think that Spo, more than anybody, is willing, as you said, the master of trickery, willing to go deep in his bag to kind of mask their warts. No team's perfect.
Right.
Every team, even the good ones, I mean, Utah, it's been said a lot, you know, how are they going to deal with switches on both ends of the floor, you know, late in games. The Sixers is well documented, everything we've said. You know, all the good teams, the Bucks, you know, their switch defense is a little bit of a mess. Their defense isn't as good as it's been. And obviously they have their demons they have to play. The Nets have this huge health question mark and their defensive question mark. And we can go on and on. The Suns with their lack of experience. So every team has something. It's just the playoffs is who can best.
Exactly. And I think that's going to be – that's the – where we see Spo's greatness when it comes to him versus any other coach, because he has the ability either in game or by the next game to have cleaned up the mess.
What's up, Jesse?
Good morning. First time.
Good morning, Jesse.
Tiffany, today for your birthday or was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Happy belated then.
Thank you.
Gee, I love the question, and I think for me to answer, I think I'm with Tiff. I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic. My biggest thing going into the year this year was individual growth. Like, we were expecting Tyler to take a huge leap. There was conversations that if Duncan was worth a contract, we would have to pay him. See where Gordon's health was after his injury. And it's all recency bias, but here we are at the end of the season. Tyler is playing a lot better offensively now in May than he had the entire season prior. Duncan is my vote for most improved player on the team, and Gorn looks healthier. I mean, I don't think he'll be like driving Gorn again, but some of that explosiveness is now using to get around picks so he can take an open three. So for me, the individual growth is what I wanted to see and what I was cautious about at the beginning of the year, so it makes me optimistic for the postseason for the team.
I think you nailed it, Jesse. And guys like and kind of to evaluate, that's a little tough because I think like guys like Duncan, who I think we can all agree is probably the most improved like player on the mm-hmm. team, him or Bam. I mean, because Bam really took a leap as well. Duncan took a step back as a little bit as a shooter, and that's not a knock. It's just that he was literally having one of the best shooting seasons of all time.
Right.
And this season was simply just an incredible shooting season, not a great of all time, but he improved in every other area.
Yeah, I think he finished fourth in three-pointers made this season. And it's so crazy to think about that because 90% of the season were like, oh, he's in a slump. He can't shoot.
He lost
his shooting and he finished fourth.
I think in the second half of the season, he is second, only trailing Steph Curry.
Right. Because you know what I think happened also? He never felt under the pressure of having to defend as much. Like, we can be realistic and say last season, while he was shooting the lights out, he was getting killed on defense. Yeah, like that, and that's okay to say because, you know, it happens. But this, right? Like, he got killed, but like, he was still scoring. So we were like, yay. And then at the end of the season, we realized.
And it was new.
Right. But then you also come into this season realizing we can't have that many bad defenders in the lineup at once. And his shooting took a step back because we gradually saw his defense step up. And which is fine. Like, we'll take the fourth best shooter, the third best 3-point shooter in the league, and you couple that with his new offense and his new ability to play defense.
Yeah, he's not a liability.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing. Like you just said, we have a guy who's going to give us like 15 points a game, but he's not giving up 25 anymore. Like
exactly.
So the final tally is, you know, 8.5 3-point attempts this season on 41%. Last season, it was 8.3 attempts on 45%. So, you know, you'd think that 5% is a lot, but, you know, he is taking a little bit more, and the effort on defense is just greater. And you take that.
Yeah.
Same amount of free throw attempts. He was a better free throw shooter last season. That's a little weird. He was at 93% last year and 82 this year. That's a little strange.
It could be the bump and grind.
I wonder how many attempts he took, because I feel like he didn't get to the line nearly that much this season.
So it's the same. One a game, literally on the dot. One a game last year, one a game this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So the 2-point range, shot better from two last season, which I think is funny too. I mean, just all across the board, its percentages are down a little bit, but, you know, like you guys said, like the defense improved. The thing that surprises me is that the assists aren't up that much, which it feels like it's more, right? So he was at 1.4 last season and he's at 1.8 this season. To me, that's a little weird. I would think that number would have been higher just because, but I do think that he makes more advanced reads this season.
Right, right.
I think they're better. Everything, the quality is better this season, so it makes it seem like the quantity should have been as well. Right. And then Bam's 2-game continues to improve, and that just makes me so happy. But, like, nobody hits Bam on better passes. Maybe Jimmy, then Duncan.
Right, yeah, Jimmy, now, but then. So, a final tally for three-pointers, 270 last season, 250 this season. I mean, again, that's absolutely game-breaking.
For
them to have found him.
Right. Well, his role changed. His role changed this season. And so, you know, when you ask more of someone and they deliver, then you have to expect that there will be a dip in certain areas.
Something else. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Jesse, appreciate the takes and always and the company. You're amazing, dude.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Eric, good morning.
What's up, everybody?
Good morning.
Happy belated birthday, Tiff.
Thank you. Thank you.
What you got for us this morning on the season reflection?
You know, it's overall, I think it's a little disappointing, but, you know, you can't dwell on these stupid losses like the Clippers and all that shit. But, you know, I think that overall, I think we believe in Jimmy Butler and we believe that he can take us as far as he wants. You know, and I like to be optimistic. So, you know, heat in five.
What's the most disappointing part of the season to you? Is it the bad losses? Is it the fact that they're the sixth seed? Like, what?
It's the bad losses. It's the, you know, we've become accustomed as Heat fans to these, you know, bad losses. Even during the big three, we lost to bad teams. It was weird. But, you know, the fact that it came in such a volume this year was kind of, it was concerning. And it was extremely annoying because they could very easily be, you know, like the third or fourth seed. I don't think that's too far out of the question.
I mean, this season they were never really in contention for a seed that high. Last season they had the 2 seed at some point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
before the year, right? Yeah. So like last year it felt different. They also got to like a much hotter start, and I think Eric Spoelstra said it. We caught some teams by surprise in the regular season,
right?
And that kind of leveled out. I feel like this was the opposite. I feel like teams were really ready for them, and as time went on, they kind of figured it out. You know, the more I've thought about it, Eric, the more I think it's like, I understand why people would be disappointed, but I think the way that they close out the season lets us feel good. I think the only thing you can be disappointed in is that, you know, they have a really rough first round matchup, which is not what you want in the playoffs. And they might lose in the first round. And that's okay, because Milwaukee's my pick to win the title this year. So that's totally okay. But, you know, like, that would be disappointing, but that's just how the seeding shaked out in a weird COVID season. And if the Heat don't get, if the league did the right thing and the Wizards got shut down and Miami didn't play that Washington game, we may not even, they probably are a 4 seed very comfortably.
Like, yeah. That whole stretch where they had, were playing like 4 straight games with like 9 people, like that kind of, you know, that did it in, but you know, I'm still, you know, I'm still optimistic. I still like to be positive. So, you know, we'll see. I think that the Bucks are, I would agree, they're my pick to come out of the East. But, you know, anything can happen. We saw what happened last year in the playoffs with, you know, Jimmy. Obviously, Jrue Holiday makes a huge difference on that team.
They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready.
It's going to be interesting. You know, we'll see.
We'll see. Well, Eric, we appreciate the perspective, the takes. We love you. You're an OG here, so appreciate
Absolutely.
You, man. We appreciate you. Yeah, Tiff, to me, that's like, that's interesting because I don't know. I don't want to be disappointed in the season. I think there are moments of the season we can be disappointed in.
And
at times, they've certainly earned our apathy. But man, the way they closed out the season, and Jesse said that that Bucks game took the wind out of his sails a little bit, and I get it. But I mean, man, they closed. We said on Hangover Time, remember? They can close 10-3, and that gets them the three. That gets them the four seed.
Right.
They close 9-4.
Right. Well, so, and you know, the other thing is, like, I think for me, I look at it in the grand scheme of things. I think, what did Jimmy miss? 10 games? 11, 12 games?
In the whole season?
Yeah.
I think he missed 20. I'll tell you right 20. Now.
20. All right. Yeah. Tell me how many games? Sure. Yeah. Right.
I'll pull it up for sure. But yeah, I mean, he did miss some.
So he missed a ton of games. So I think for me, when he basically just went out with COVID, that's when, like, I think the realization of how crappy the season really is, that's when it kind of kicked in for me.
Exactly 20 games.
Right. So he missed 20 games. So it's kind of like, honestly, if he's your best player, if he's your motivator, if he's the guy that is your best defender, he's your best playmaker, then they are right where they're supposed to be.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
That's how I see it, because we can't, you know, realistically, like, Bam took a leap this year, but he didn't obviously take the leap that most people wanted him to take, but this is what it is. He still had a great year, but this is where they are. Like, Jimmy's their best pretty much everything. So they kind of fell. I thought they would get the fifth seed. They didn't. They got the sixth seed, but they kind of fell where I thought they would fall.
I just think it's a little concerning when, you know, when Jimmy doesn't play, how bad they look, right? That's a little jarring.
Because he's their everything.
Yeah, and but he shouldn't be.
He shouldn't, but that's the reality of the team, that he shouldn't be. And I think that in a year like this, where everybody's kind of searching, this is just what you have. I think next year will be different with the full off season, and a lot of the young guys will get into training camp.
Real additions.
Yeah, you'll have some different additions to the team. I think it'll look drastically different, I think, with the way that people are playing. But at this point, it's ride or die with Jimmy.
Yeah, like, so Jaden Chad is like, is that on Spo, Bam, or Pat? Yes. No, I don't think it's on Spo. I don't think it's on Spo. I think Spo is a little bit exonerated here.
Right. I think, well, the additions.
That's on Pat.
That's on Pat.
That's on Pat.
But you can't, the fact that every player looks to Jimmy for everything, that has nothing to do with management. That's the players.
For sure.
So that's on them to try to get themselves together and be ready for this playoff run, because Jimmy's going to be ready.
I do think the front office was caught off surprise by Tyler not taking the leap that they expected. And Goran, I think everyone expected a little bit of a decline from Goran. I don't think people expected this.
Right.
And it was a little jarring how.
Right.
Because even in, like, the beginning of the season, he didn't look that bad.
He didn't look that bad, but he didn't look that good.
Yeah. But you can say, okay, well, he's working his way back, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it just, like, took a turn. I don't know when exactly we noticed. It's not like he just, like, was good and then, like, really bad all of a sudden. It was like one day we're just like, yo, this guy can't play.
Right. Well, now he's – well, and the thing about it is that I think that, like, in spot minutes, I think he's going to be very, very beneficial to this team. But I also think that – you know, that's where these other guards are just going to have to pick up their play, because he's not going to go out there and give us full Goran each and every night.
I don't think I think that the Goran from last year's playoffs, that player will never, we will never see that player again. Yeah, he's gone. He ain't walking through that door.
No, but I think 5 minutes here, 3 minutes here, he could put together a couple of little spurts. Just to keep the defense honest, and things like that. But, you know, that's why we're looking at Nunn and we're looking at Hero and we're saying, all right, this is your time to shine.
So chat's asking what the Heat's record is with Kendrick Nunn starting, and I'll look that up. I don't know how to pull. I'm checking StatMuse. Let's see if StatMuse will give it to me. StatMuse has like this cool search engine where I can just search specific things. So Heat record with Kendrick Nunn starting. Let's find out together what this will spit out. Okay, that was not helpful. Okay, so I don't know. Chad, I don't know. Because I actually wanted to look up Jimmy's, the Heat's record with Jimmy starting versus playing versus not playing, because that number is a little jarring. And
oh yeah, well no, yeah. they look like a lottery team when he sits.
It's so bad. Like yeah. I tweeted that. Like how you look so hot? Like how?
Well, think about our players. Like we don't have four players that can do multiple things. So. That's how they look bad. So if he's not playing, and then if you got Bam that's playing, then they're really heavily relying on Bam's defense even more so. You're relying on his playmaking. So all that burden falls to him, whereas you have, like, Nunn has proven he's becoming a really good three-level scorer, but he's not a playmaker.
28 and 16.
Yeah.
When Brian M just texted me when Kendrick starts, and then 31 and 25 with Kendrick playing at all this season. So
yeah.
So I'm gonna pull up Jimmy's numbers right now too, because I'm actually really right. curious about that. But
yeah, because you don't have anyone else. Who else is, you know, who else is a proven playmaker out there? Who else can get into those passing lanes and get the steals and get the charges and all those things that Jimmy brings? Like, you don't have any other players out there that can do all those things. Where our defense is great is that when we play as one unit, so they're all playing like they're tethered together. That's why the defense is great.
And so then 7 and 13 without Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then it was like 33 and 17 with Jimmy. So. He's good.
Yeah.
that guy, yeah, 33 and 19 when Jimmy's in the lineup. So
that guy's good.
So that's good. Yeah. StatMuse fire Miguel Fournette. Well, Brian M gave me the Nunn stat because I couldn't filter it for starting, and then, you know, the other ones I did get through StatMuse. I think Kendrick has 100% earned his starting spot in the playoffs. I think that there's no question about that. That game one of Heat Bucks, Kendrick Nunn is going to be starting. I think that's pretty. I think he's earned it.
Right. Well, in that last game that they just played, he also found some wrinkles in that Bucks defense.
I mean, he's going to have that pull up, you know, uh-huh. whenever he wants, and he's gonna the Bucks are going to be like, if Kendrick Nunn's going to hit that. Like, it's going to be, you know, they're going to lean on him. And I'm sure that they're going to do I think Eric Spoelstra is going to do the best that they can so that the offense is not, like, very Kendrick Nunn-centric. Because, like, right. you don't want that either, right? Like, you want to get, like, you know, Jimmy and Bam and your shooters more involved. But, you know, if Kendrick is your release valve in your offense, that's a pretty good option considering right. the kinds of shots he can get against the Bucks if they drop. And even though there's a lot of size, they don't, you know... The on-ball switching on Nunn, I'm not too worried about because the Heat run a ton of misdirection and Nunn does move well without the ball. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too worried about that kind of stuff. And if they're going to drop, I mean, he's going to have that pull-up. And if he's hitting it, I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah. And I honestly, you know, there's a piece of me that's telling me he's going to be ready.
He has something to prove. I mean, yeah. last playoff series against them, he was just like straight up bad. And the thinking was the same. Because he didn't get minutes against Indiana, and he barely got minutes against Boston. But he did. They did legit really try him, and he didn't look good against the Bucks. But I think Eric knows it's like, okay, well, you know, he's our, you know, most confident pull up shooter mm-hmm. outside of Jimmy, and he's pretty quick, so he can get to those spots, and we're gonna try to hurt them in that little soft spot, and that's what I think. A lot of that matchup is going to come down to that, and we're going to get more into that. But
yeah, you know,
he's had a really good season.
Yeah, he has,
and he's earned a start. I don't think there's a question that he's going to start.
No, I don't. I there's no one else to start over him.
No.
like that's the other thing where it's like he at this point. Let's hope he's secure in the fact that he's starting, and then he can just go out and produce.
because there is no one else to start over him.
So Kendrick this season, 14. He actually averaged more points last season, which is a little funny. He was averaging 15.3 last season, 14.3 this season. His assists are down as well, 3.3 last season, 2.3. But that's, you know, shout out to Tiff, fuck them numbers. Like, you know, I think his reads were better. Same like Duncan. You know, even though the scoring's down, I think he's a little bit more within his element. The free throw shooting has gone way up, opposite of Duncan. Mm-hmm. And just the shooting percentages in general. Free throw up, 2-point percentage, 58% from two, mm-hmm. just really, really good. 38% from three, so he didn't have his 50-40-90 season, but, you know, 48% overall from the field, 38 from three. It's really good, man. You know, in 56 games played, you know, played almost the identical minutes, 29.3 last season, 29.5 this season. Field goal attempts down, which I think is always, when your scoring is about the same and your field goals are down, I always think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Borderline, Miguel says borderline 50-40-90. So, like, you know, good season. They're going to need him in the playoffs. Defense much improved. Siobhan, I know that you have, are you there? Do you have, before we kind of move off Kendrick? Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. Hi.
Morning.
Hi, G. Hey, Tiff. Good morning, Tiff. Yeah, I've been kind of riding the Kendrick bandwagon all summer, and all season rather, and I don't really, you know, care to belabor it too much more. I just, you know, I agree with Tiffany. I think he'll be ready. We've seen him look more secure in just his role period. He's much more settled. He's much more poised, which, you know, lends well to a bit better decision making. And, you know, like you said, there's no one, not only has he, you know, outright earned his spot, but even if he hadn't and was playing, you know, as well as he had or is playing, there's no one, like Chip said, there's no one to start above him. So, you know, I'm excited to see him having come around and come off of that, you know, slump that he'd had about midseason and just perform. You know, he seems to have blocked out all distractions, whatever was happening, you know, around the trade time. And he's just playing. And it's cool to see a young guy kind of just shake all of the, or, you know, appear to have shaken all the monkeys off his back and just go out and hoop. So I hope he maintains. Miami needs him to maintain, to be frank. And I'm excited to see, you know, what he looks like going forward.
They need him. I mean, they have this guard position. They need it by committee, I think, this season. And I think they have enough to do it. But, you know, they really need everyone to perform at the level that they've been this stretch of the season.
Yep. If not, kick it up a notch.
Yeah. And I think they have another gear. Like, I don't know. Too. I don't know how much of another gear Kendrick has because he's playing like fantastic, and asking more of him unreasonable.
Them as a whole,
how much he's
right? Like collectively, they have a gear.
Goran, I hope, has another gear, and Tyler, I think he's played well as well. Like he and like since Tyler's been back from injury, other than the stinker against Milwaukee, I think he's been like really good. So you kind of hope that he can kind of find that role, like find that form. And if Gogi can give you a little bit more, you know, it doesn't have to be last season. I think, you know, as I like to say, we're cooking with oil. you know, that's they need their win conditions. Even last season, they needed a lot of win conditions, right? They needed their shooters to shoot well. They needed their guards to survive on defense. Mm-hmm. And they needed to get to a point where Jimmy can bring them home. That was like that tended to be their formula in the playoffs last season.
Yep.
And I think this season, I don't think it's much different.
No, it's not. It definitely is not much different. And honestly, we're going to definitely need a tick above what Jimmy gave in the regular season, in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
But not the finals yet.
Yeah.
But just what he did in the early rounds. You need a tick above that from Jimmy at this point.
Real Which quick,
I think what you hope too is that the bench can maintain. We've seen, I think, ever since that two game stretch where I think Atlanta's bench and whoever we played right after them, after that two game stretch where both of those benches kicked our ass, like we have seen a resurgence in bench production so much to the point that Jimmy's been able to have, you know, a few fourth quarters off now.
Say his name.
Huh?
Say his name.
Say whose name?
Mr. Deadman.
Oh, Mr. Deadman.
Mr.
Oh, yeah,
Deadman.
Mr.
That's
Deadman.
It.
DeWalt Deadman.
Yes.
No, I think, you know, it's maybe a little unreasonable to expect that same level of production. The playoffs are a different beast. And I expect Jimmy, you know, to be present in every fourth quarter. But hopefully there is, I think you have to hope that there is some carryover and that the bench can continue to be at least, you know, 75% as productive as they have been to make, you know, the Jimmy bring us on home not as arduous as, you know, we've seen it be at points during the season.
Right.
I do think the bench minutes are going to get cut a bit.
Yeah.
I think for sure.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend and we're talking about like how much like Deadman has been a positive for them. And he's like, yeah, but like his minutes are going to get cut because Bam's going to play more minutes. And that's probably good for Deadman.
I don't think so.
Go all out.
I don't know that they get cut as much as people think they do.
I think it's going to be matchup.
9 to 7. I think he's playing 9 minutes now. I think it goes from 9 to 7. You give Bam an extra 2 minutes in there. And, you know, you have that insurance if Bam's ever in foul trouble of a guy that you trust.
True.
Right.
I don't think it's drastic, but I do think it's something like that. I do think Jimmy takes some of – I think there's a little bit less Andre. They try to keep Jimmy and Ariza on the floor a little more. Unless, listen, if Andre's showing them something, I think that's going to be huge just to keep Jimmy and Ariza a little fresher. But I do think when push comes to shove, kind of Andre is a little bit of the odd man out. There will be no Max Strus or Gabe Vincent. And the three guards are the three guards, right? Those guys are pretty set. And then Duncan, I think Duncan's minutes are going to be pretty stable. Maybe he plays a little more, but.
And then I'm going to counter that and say, if Andre is anywhere between 85 to 90% healthy, you about to get a heavy dose of Andre in this Bucks series.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because you for sure intelligence on the defensive end, you need him out there.
Yeah.
And I am not mad to see Jimmy, Ariza, and Andre in spurts just out there locking people down.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what they're gonna need.
The wing uncles.
They're gonna need that. Yeah. Think about it. They're gonna need that wingspan because at some point you're gonna have to build that Giannis wall.
Yep. And Chris Middleton is not a small guard.
No, he's not.
A good size, stocky, you know,
he's big.
Thuggish,
long
guard. So long length, but still, you know, stocky. So I think you're absolutely right. They got to hope they can get something from Andre. I think he's going to be needed.
Right. You know, even if Andre is, and honestly, if he's open, he's got to take the shots.
Yeah.
Like that,
he's willing.
No, we know. I know, but we get so mad. But it's just the way that the game plays. You got to take the shots that are given, and hopefully, we're crashing the boards because we're gonna have to gang rebound.
They've been better at that.
Yes. Oh no, they definitely have been.
They've been much better.
They definitely have been.
It's like they were told.
Everybody get out there and hit the boards.
Shout out to Duncan, by the way. Always down there trying.
Listen.
Shout out to Duncan, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
He is always trying. I don't know if my man ever got an offensive rebound in his life, but but all I see is my man down there just flailing trying to get the ball.
He gonna push
and or draw an offensive foul.
Which
I respect.
That's all you can ask for. It's like, just try, please.
He gonna push
just
somebody.
Try. He's gonna go, who, me?
Yep.
I love the faces he makes when he fouls somebody.
Hey guys, first time, long time.
Is this Mr. Sydney?
Yes.
Nice to have you.
Is that a drill?
It is, my bad. Are you
with Mr. Deadman?
Yeah, I work at Mr. Deadman's garage.
Part-time?
Apprentice. Again,
I assemble girls for him on the side.
She got that internship flowing.
Oh man, Mr. Deadman makes a mean it. Does Mr. Deadman smoke the ribs or grill them?
Oh, smoke. Oh, there he would.
I just wanted to say that Duncan Robinson is on pace for the lowest amount of offensive rebounds in NBA history for a guy who plays as many minutes as he does. I'm not even joking.
I was joking when I said
no. That is an actual fact. If you look, I think his Twitter account or that his.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast Twitter account did a highlight reel of all seven of his offensive rebounds.
Oh, my quarter. God.
That is excellent. But that's fine. You know, sometimes you need those guys who know that the rebound's not coming to them. You just need to get someone else out.
Exactly. There. Just throw your body in there.
That's hilarious.
I was joking.
But that's all I got. I got to go back to work.
All right, Al. All
right. Real quick, because we're running out of time, and I did kind of want to hit the everybody. So we talked a little bit about a reason. And Deadman just now, Andre, kind of that little bench mob. Real quick, kind of, you know, a little bit on Bam. And then we'll kind of move to Jimmy in the next, like, 2 minutes and then wrap this up. But
look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
You know, I think Bam Tiff has had a really good season, and I know that he's been very frustrating at times to a lot of fans, but I do think that the Heat were a little ahead of schedule in terms of contention and what they needed out of him.
Right.
And that played into it. You know, I think at times he did not look ready, and that's okay to say. We're allowed to say at times he didn't look ready for what they needed of him.
Right.
That's an okay thing to say. And it doesn't mean that this man does not deserve his max contract. That doesn't mean that we don't think this man is a generational star. Like that's not what that means.
Right.
He's young. It's a tough season, really tough season with a lot of inconsistency in lineups and in everything. And then
right.
But, you know, that is fair criticism when he hasn't looked up to par with what they've needed. And that's okay to say, I think.
Right. It is okay to say that I said it to Siobhan a couple of times, like, realistically, Bam needed for them to have another star on the team. There needed to be someone else. There needed to be another guard who knows how to run the team, who can get Bam into early offense, who can take some of that scoring load. Like, they would have benefited from
a ball handling load.
Shout out to Brass. They would have benefited from a point guard who could do all those things and just get him into the proper positions and not have it just be him and Jimmy and everybody else.
Yeah.
Because honestly, he's so early in his development, even though his development is better than like 85% of the league.
Yeah.
He's still so early in his development that he wasn't technically ready to be like that number two scoring option.
Yes, exactly. You can see sometimes that he's still like really unsure of himself. He's really almost like kind of, he plays with still that, like, I'm afraid to mess up kind of mentality. And I think a lot of that comes with, yeah, being ahead of schedule and, you know, not necessarily having as firm of a grasp on the skill set that, you know, kind of any given moment is calling for you. We lament a lot of times that he'll, you know, lead the break, but immediately turn his back to the basket and, you know, pitch the DHO or something like that. I think that, you know, like you said, that he is early in his development. That is an okay thing to admit and to talk about. And it's also okay to be frustrated when he won't kind of do the things such as, you know, literally looking at the basket. I think he definitely would have facilitated from, you know, a different type of true point guard or playmaker, someone that will can kind of see the floor or like to have a different vision of the floor than even a Jimmy. Jimmy can make plays. Jimmy will make plays. Jimmy, I don't know that he's a natural playmaker. And again, something else that is okay to say. But yeah, he'll be fine. It is fair to kind of want some of the things that I see some of us wanting from him, but he's going to be fine.
Yeah. And he had, you know, I mean, although, you know, now it's like awards talk and everyone's talking about like they're all NBA teams. I mean, not that I don't know if Bam's going to get in, but I mean, he certainly talked about, like, he's probably like the last guy on the cutting room floor for all NBA almost, because, you know, the all NBA five is kind of, All-NBA center for their team is up in flux because Embiid's available as a power forward and as a center. So it's like kind of working like, okay, well, who's going to be the third team center? And there's a good chance that Bam is an All-NBA player this season when, A, he wasn't an All-Star, and B, all Twitter did was bitch about him all season. So, you know, he certainly had a good season. And I think that some of the criticisms are fair, but I think that sometimes it gets a little bit out of control.
Yeah, no, it does. And I this is his second full season starting. So it's like, we, you know, as much as I want from him, I also have to remember that, like, his entire skill set, I never saw once on display at Kentucky.
Right.
Which means he could do it. He just was never called upon to do it. So there's a difference between knowing how to do it and doing it in everyday fashion. And knowing how to do it, but never having to do it.
It's, listen.
Yeah, like between having the ability to do it and never having been asked to do it, and then having been asked to do it consistently.
At this level,
I think to his credit, so much of the frustration built around him is like, bro, we see you as this, like you said, G, this generational talent. Like he's a freaking matchup nightmare.
He's special, man.
And to him, I feel like, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. And I think that's where a lot of Heat fans kind of feel with him. But again, it, like you said, his second season, you know, as a full-time starter in the NBA, probably going to make a third team, maybe, in DPOY, you know, contention. He's going to be all right.
He's amazing.
I just want him to look at the basket.
Sam. So real quick.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Brian.
Oh, good morning, Brian.
You want to get on Bam before he pivots?
Yeah. I just wanted to bring up what we were talking about in the group DM a few days ago about that. I think it was on Duncan's podcast where he interviewed Bam about stuff, about all that. And he talked about what Tiff was saying in Kentucky. Like, they basically told him, you're going to play a role. That's all you're going to do. Now, during practices, you can expand your game, you can do all that, but this is what you have to do. If you do anything else, we're going to sit you. And the same thing was kind of happening, apparently, what he was saying with Spo and like the mid-range and all that stuff, that they were like, yeah, we don't want anyone taking that shot. Like, no, that shot's not your shot. Like, you need to play your role. And then don't forget, he was playing behind Hassan the whole time, and he saw all the negative stuff of like someone just trying to go get theirs.
Right.
Yep.
And then like he saw like everybody bitching from the organization, the fans, everything. Right. Like Bam sees a lot of stuff. You can tell that even if he's not on social media, like, even if he's not talking on social media, he's always watching stuff. I mean, the fact that, like, Alf called him out and he tweeted at him, like, he's right. watching social media. So he's seeing everybody being like, oh, yeah, he's putting up numbers, but who cares? Who cares about any of that stuff? Like, he's just a black hole. Like, those stats are empty. They're not actually leading to winning. So he did everything he possibly could, even if it wasn't points, to make sure we win. Like, and it wasn't about him. So, like, right. that yeah. was his mentality, and that's what they drilled into him for, what, 2 years before he became a starter?
Yeah.
And then when he became a starter, it's like, hey, here's Jimmy. Give it to Jimmy. Jimmy will figure it out. And then, you know, Jimmy's asking more of him, but he's like, I've had these years of basically being brainwashed to play one way.
I also think that like, I don't, again, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I mean, to me, it more sounds like, you know, and I think Jimmy kind of gave voice to this as well. It's not that they don't want taking the mid-range. A lot of people
do. Exactly.
You're good. It's that they want him to think, go to the basket first and then have the mid-range as a counter. Yeah. Because, like, he looks like he wants to get to it first, which I think, Siobhan, you've said a bunch. That's, like, not your game, right?
Yeah.
That's a good counter if they play you a certain coverage. But your goal should always be, like, I got to get to the basket. In an emergency, I can lean on my jumper.
Yes. Because him getting to the basket opens up the floor for everyone else.
And more for himself.
Yes. So that mid-range,
he's like his own economy.
Yes. That mid-range can't be your first go-to. It's nice when he's rolling and he splashes 5, 6, and 7 of those in a row. Hey, we love it. But you can't come out in the first quarter and you shoot 7 jumpers and you haven't attacked the basket once. Like, that's bad for the team.
Remember the first Utah game when, like, and I'm guilty of it too. Like, he opened the game by taking jumpers on Rudy's drop. And I'm like, I get why you did that, but I think you should probably not set the tone that way. Like, in hindsight.
That's what it is, tone setting. The initial tone needs to be, I'm trying to put you under the rim. I'm putting you in the basket.
You blocking it or you fouling me.
Or you're blocking it or you fouling me. And then once you adjust, then I'll adjust. And now I'm a dot your eye, baby, because I do have this.
Yep.
Jimmy's really good at that. Like, he'll go to the basket first, and then the game will end the jumper.
Jimmy's shot diversification, especially now that he has legs under him and his three has been looking really good. Yeah, crispy. His shot portfolio is...
And his wrist isn't messed up anymore? Right. Since he actually has a jumper now?
But I do know one thing. I know Brook Lopez can't guard Bam.
Nope.
That's what I know.
Let's be real. A lot of people need to guard Bam.
No, but that's the first matchup. I'm just sticking to what 100. We know. Yes, what we know right now. And all I know is if Bam gave him the simplest of pump fakes, he's at the basket.
Or jab steps.
He'll
get him on the rocker.
Yes. Like those simple moves, Brook Lopez has nothing for Bam.
I want Bam to catch and face up, like an aggressive face up.
Mm-hmm. Like Amari.
One rip.
One rip through. Yes.
His first step is crazy. And he's an athletic freak. Like,
I want him to work out with Amari Stoudemire. So
I don't.
Bad.
I don't. Then Bam's going to come back a xenophobe and homophobic.
Oh, you're
let's
right.
Not
you're
do
right.
That.
I forgot about that.
Let's not do that to Bam.
Tiff, I forgot about the Amari. You're right.
Let's
not do that.
Plus, you don't need to be wasting all his money. He's about to start getting on wine baths, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
We're out with D-Wade. Anybody. Anybody.
Anybody else.
Well, I mean, not this offseason, and I'll always come back to a lot of, like, the criticisms on our players is like, man, can you imagine if he had an offseason where he wasn't recovering from a shoulder and neck injury?
Wait a second. Chris Bosh is right there.
That's what I was going to say. Two seasons ago, before he was a starter, he worked out with Bosh in the summer.
I know. Yo, Siobhan, how nasty is that Chris Bosh first step?
Oh, that Chris, that long, lanky rip through that you kind of don't know which way he's going, but he does. Yes.
It was like if the KO keeper looked nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
If the KO keeper was athletic.
Yeah. If it didn't look like he's falling. Yeah, like he's falling towards the basket.
It looks like he's tripping.
He's a graceful
fall. All right, guys. Real yes. quick, 2 minutes on Jimmy because we got to go, and we would be remiss if we did a wrap up without a little focus segment on Jimmy. I mean, listen, all NBA first team candidate. The Jim VP stuff was real. The defensive player of the year stuff to me is very real. His best season as a pro, absolutely dominated whenever he was on the court. Plus, almost 6 net rating whenever he played. -6 when he sat. I mean, that number. You know, one of those is a top 5 team in the league, and then the other one's a bottom. 5 team in the league. So that just speaks to him and how great he is. The attitude on the court, holding his teammates accountable after that loss in Minnesota where he scared him into being good. I do think he's learned from his previous stops. You know, I thought he was stern, but he was, you know, very gentle in a way. Like, he was himself, but I do think he's learned from his past mistakes as a leader.
Right.
You do feel like he's a leader on this team, and he's not denigrating and making his teammates feel like shit, which I think he's done before. And I think maybe even if he's been right, there's a way you got to manage people. And I think he's learned that a little bit.
I don't think he's learned it as much as he likes his teammates now.
That's true. No, but I mean, I want to give him credit. I mean, for learning, I'm sure that, you know, it's frustrating when you sit and these dudes can't win a game. I can't imagine how. I know that he knows that they work hard, but like that shit, you know what I mean? You get to a breaking point where you stop being so understanding because, like, okay, we all have a job to do, right? And it's like, this is our legacies on the line. You know what I mean? Like, that shit matters. So, you know, his season has been, you know, honestly one of the best in Heat history, you know, outside of maybe like Dwayne, LeBron, and Alonzo. And then that Shaq MVP year, I mean, he's like right up there. And those are some names, you know what I mean? Like, those are all Hall of Fame names. Those are all, you know, Zoe was a damn MVP candidate, like a legit, you know, top 3 finisher in MVP 1 year when they had the 1 seed. So, like, just, you know, Tiff, I mean, his season was just absolute. I mean, he has exceeded every expectation since he's been here, even divorced from the playoff run. I mean, this guy is incredible.
Right. It's so funny because I literally was I grew up a Bulls fan. I'm from the Midwest. And so I stopped watching for a while, and then Dwayne got drafted, and then of course I started back watching. But when Jimmy, I think by his like 3rd season, he just quietly became like one of my favorite players. There was something gritty about him. There was something sometimes rather asinine about his behavior, but I still loved it. This speaks to what you were saying. There's that whole monumental growth that it looks like he's had, especially with being able to not coddle his teammates, but call them out in such a way that, like, I'm saying this, but I love you. And I love you, so I want you to do better. If you do better, we do better. And, you know, and he's saying it verbally, and he's showing it with his play. I mean, he had an incredible season. And, of course, people have better seasons by the numbers. But, you know, the
not
same
many.
Way that not many. No, not many. But, of course, somebody's going to be like, Steph averaged 30 points. Okay. You know that's coming.
Who'd Steph stop?
Exactly. But that's the whole thing about it, that like Jimmy
on we both ends, Steph this morning, goddamn.
No, but Jimmy
Steph,
on both
Steph minding ends, his own business.
Right, catching strays from across the
yo, Steph's about to eliminate LeBron. I don't know why we're trashing.
No,
so much.
I get your point. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what I'm saying. Numbers wise, people want to throw it out. But at the end, like, he had a phenomenal season on both ends of the court. There are just sometimes when the season ends, you look at a player and you say, you gave everything you had. There was nothing else that we could ask from you at this point. Like, that was it. And he went out there. He put it on the line.
That's never a question with Jimmy. He'll always give you everything he has.
Right. And how many times are you watching other players and you're like, oh, you're just not going to hustle after that ball? Like,
honestly, the thing I love about Jimmy is he gives you that grittiness that we expected, like with Wade, except he doesn't do that, the complaining or the not getting back on defense when he thought he was fouled. Like, as much as I love Wade, it's like Jimmy's what we always wanted Wade to be on the attitude wise, not the scoring and Hall of Fame career. Listen, there were times, especially in the big three, like LeBron and Wade loved, like, hey, I got fouled, and they just sit there, and then it's like a 5-on-4 or 5-on-3 freaking break. And it's like,
don't you dare ever compare Wade
to
LeBron.
Oh, no, they were just on the same team. No, we're not comparing. No. They were just on the same team. So when you had two people doing it, you literally had a 5-on-3 with your role players back there and Chris Bosh trying, and it's
get Solomon Hill's name out of your mouth.
Yo, I love Solo, man.
My guy played with Matthew Dellavedova for 4 years and never said a fucking word as he tried to fucking murder Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson, and all of a sudden now it's not okay. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get my mouth out your mouth. Brush your teeth. Mouthwash. Listerine.
To y'all's point about like his grit and this being like the best statistical season of his, or feeling at least like one of his best statistics. I think it's I think that's what I've been, you know, so enjoying about him this season, is that he used to be, I think for me and for a lot of people, like commentators would comment on him as if, you know, all that Jimmy Butler does isn't going to be reflected in the stat sheet. And that was, you know, his mantra. That was the kind of scope on him. And there are still a plethora of things that he does that won't show up in the stat sheet. That grit, determination, you know, getting guys in spots, keeping them motivated, instilling confidence in Tyler from rip, instilling confidence in Bam from rip, but also his level of offensive production and the focus.
The culture.
The focus with which he shoots his jump shots, his body control. You can tell that guy is locked in from just the way that he carries himself.
Right.
I really, really appreciate it. He's a asshole of a professional, but in all of the best parts and the best ways. I love his demeanor.
He's a dog.
He is a dog.
Yep.
I love him.
Right. One last thing, because we also talked about like Hall of Fame, Jimmy, and blah, blah, blah. Not for nothing, but I really thought about it. How many players have ever dragged NSYNC to the finals?
You know, not many.
Like, how many players have dragged a boy band to the finals?
They look like Boys in Motion from Natural Raven.
Exactly.
and took two games by just being an animal.
Exactly. So that's what you get. You get this player who's going to give you everything and not ask for – he's not asking anyone to do anything he wouldn't do.
Right. More than that, I don't think he genuinely believes that they can do. He's not asking Bam to do anything that he doesn't truly believe and trust Bam is capable of doing.
Right.
Same thing, I guess, to Tyler. We all might have thought that was a little bit irrational when that first started. But, you know, Tyler has proven to be, you know – at least up to this point, what it is that he is. And credit Jimmy to that too, for getting with him off jump and like, nope, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we worked out.
Right.
Things we love to see. Appreciate everybody for coming by. We're out of time. We've gone a little long, but we had a lot. Listen, this was fun. I like doing these types of things. And, you know, I don't know if we'd be able to fit this in the pod with the playoff previews kind of coming up and everything. So, this was fun to do with you guys, the audience, with my friends, my co-hosts, my season-long partners. So appreciate y'all. We're going to keep doing these locker rooms this week. We're probably going to do another one. I don't know when. We may do one after the Lakers, the morning after the Lakers-Warriors playing game, because we have so much petty to get to. We may do one on Thursday morning. I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep you updated on Twitter. Follow us at MIHeatBeat for updates on that. This is a little bit of a weird week, but we are potting today and Wednesday, and we're doing hangover time on Tuesday and Thursday. I think we're still hammering out the schedule. Yep. We will let you know. It's a bit weird because we're trying to decide what games we want to cover. But we will do hangover times this week. We just don't know exactly when. I'm thinking Tuesday, Thursday. Kind of going to confirm with Alf, but pods for sure. Monday and Wednesday. Today is going to be more of a general preview of Heat Bucks, and then on Wednesday we're really getting into the nitty gritty, the nuts and bolts, with some time to prepare that we know for sure. So thanks everybody who has been with us for these locker rooms all season. We're going to keep going throughout the playoffs and up until August at least. So, you know, thanks for being with us. We have a lot more, and we might do something fun for playoffs. So let's see. If you have ideas, hit us up at Twitter at MIAHP. But we plan to keep the train going.
That's it.
All right, guys. Take care. Enjoy.
Have a good day.
Have a good day, everybody. Water. Bye.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.